The Old Testament reading for the 19th Sunday after Pentecost is from Genesis chapter 32. That same night, Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text is the gospel lesson just read, Luke 18, verse 1 to 8. You may be seated. The sermon title is, "Always Pray, Don't Lose Heart." Sometimes you just want to give up. It could be something at work, a problem that just doesn't get resolved. Maybe it's an irritating coworker that doesn't do his job, and your boss doesn't care, and then you have to pick up the slack. Or it could be worse. It could be someone who has his gun sights pointed at you, and no matter what you do, he makes you look bad in front of your boss and friends. He wants to get rid of you and is close to doing that. Sometimes you just want to give up. It could be something in your marriage. You confront your spouse with some misbehavior, and he or she says they will stop doing it or will improve, but he or she doesn't. Many times in a marriage, it could be something your spouse isn't doing. In a marriage, it could be any number of things that simply drive you crazy. Why can't a woman think like a man? Why can't a man think like a woman? Sometimes you just want to give up. Could be something at school. It just keeps getting worse. The girls are picking on you. The guys are bullying you. Or worse, they ignore you altogether. You don't even exist. Or there's a required course that you just don't understand at all. And you keep beating your head against the wall, seeing a tutor, doing extra credit. None of it helps. Not at all. Now, here's one you can all relate to, looking at this crowd. Sometimes you do want to give up. Your body doesn't work the way it used to. Any little strain or exertion, and you have pain for weeks, and it's not getting any better. Or your medication doesn't do what it's supposed to. Or the doctor says, this is what you don't want to hear, he can't fix it. You just have to live with it. Or the doctor says, you have so many months to live, and then you just want to give up. Jesus told a parable in our gospel lesson this morning that was intended precisely for those days, when you just want to give up. Verse 1 says that Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. In a nutshell, that is what this gospel is all about. Always pray, don't lose heart, never give up praying. Now, the story that Jesus tells revolves around a justice who was not just. He didn't live up to his name. In the United States, as in most civilized countries, we elect judges to enforce the law and to mediate between two contesting parties. One is criminal law, the other is civil law. We expect judges to know the law and to be dedicated to fairness. Trials are in the public realm, so that if a judge is not fair, public pressure will arise so that he either changes his ruling, or if he keeps doing that, he is removed from office. We have one of the best judicial systems in the world, and part of the success of America is that its judges are fair in most cases. But this has not always been so. The judicial court of the Sanhedrin that ruled in Jesus' case ordered the death of an innocent man. If you don't look at it any other way, that's what they did. And Jesus was completely innocent of all charges brought against him. This was the testimony given by Pontius Pilate, a Gentile, an unbeliever. He said, that man is innocent. But you know, really, Pilate was not much better. He allowed the death of an innocent man under his auspices due to public pressure and internal politics. In the ancient days of the Greeks and the Romans, the ideal of a just judge was set forth by both Plato and Aristotle, but the reality was often far from the ideal. So now in Jesus' parable, an unjust judge made a ruling that was unfair. and that most likely affected, from what we can tell, the livelihood of a widow. This was not a close call. It was far from the mark of justice. The unjust judge had probably accepted a bribe from the man who received the widow's property. This widow had no recourse for appeal or public pressure through newspapers or anything else. Her only recourse was to pester the judge day and night. And so she did that, like clockwork. He could look out on the sundial in his backyard and see, oh, it's 4 o'clock again. There she's coming again. After a while, the widow got on the judge's nerves. He couldn't sleep at night. He lost his appetite. The widow started reminding him of his mother-in-law, who was deceased. She had come back to haunt him. Finally, the judge said, "I will give her justice, so she will not beat me down by her continual coming." And he changed the ruling, so that what belonged to the widow came to her. Now then, Jesus explains the parable. It is an argument from the lesser to the greater. And here's the argument. If an unjust judge grants the request of a petitioner because she keeps on petitioning day and night, how much more will a righteous judge grant the request of a petitioner? The righteous judge is God, who judges between all men and women, both now and in eternity. Will a righteous judge delay justice? Certainly not. And so, verse 7, will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. This sermon of Jesus applies not only to cases of injustice, but also to all causes of evil in our life. In the last petition of the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "Deliver us from evil." So what does this mean? Do you remember your small catechism explanation? It says, we pray in this petition as, in a summary, that our Father in heaven may deliver us from all manner of evil, whether it affect body or soul, property or reputation, and that at last, when the hour of death comes, he may grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this world of sorrow to himself in heaven. In the large catechism explanation to the last petition, Luther explains that evil here is really referring to the devil, who is the adversary of every believing Christian. He's got his target on your back. Here is what Luther says. He said, well, before I get to that, it means in the parable that we believers are the widow and the devil is her adversary in God's court. So then this is what Luther says in the Large Catechism. This petition includes all the evil that may befall us under the devil's kingdom: poverty, shame, death, and in short, all the tragic misery and heartache of which there is so incalculably much on earth. Since the devil is not only a liar, but a murderer, he incessantly seeks our life and vents his anger by causing accidents and injuries to our bodies. He breaks many a man's neck and drives others to insanity. Some he drowns, and many he hounds to suicide or other dreadful catastrophes. Therefore, there is nothing we on earth can do but pray constantly against this arch enemy. For if God did not support us, we would not be safe from him for a single hour. Thus you see how God wants us, this is Luther continued, God wants us to pray to him for everything that affects our bodily welfare and directs us to seek and expect help from no one but him. But this petition he has put last. For if we are to be protected and delivered from all evil, God's name must first be hallowed in us, his kingdom come among us, and his will be done. Then he will preserve us from sin and shame and from everything else that harms or injures us. So far, Luther in the Large Catechism. At the end of our gospel, Jesus asks this question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? That's a good question. There will probably be many people who call themselves Christians and others who think they are so. But will there be Christians who believe the promise of Jesus in this gospel, that God will answer our prayers in due time and give us relief from our adversary, the devil? Do you believe these promises of Jesus? May our Lord grant you his Holy Spirit through hearing his word and receiving his sacrament, so that you may believe that God truly does answer prayer and truly does deliver us from all evil. In Jesus' name, amen.